Today is Thursday, June 10th, 2021. And this is today's new moon session. Hard for me to believe when I say that date. And this is Debbie Moran, in case you didn't know that. Okay, so I'm going to go online to Facebook right now and set up the live. So it's going to be a little bit of a break in terms of the recording here. I'm just talking my way through it, so it's not dead there. Honey, do you want to actually make any statements?
Do I want to make a statement right now?
Yeah, or wait. Till I'm going
on. Right, I'm not ready.
Okay. Okay. I do believe we are live.
Hi, Debbie.
Hi, Susan. How are you?
Doing well. Looking forward to playing with you in the call.
Yeah, I'm looking forward.
Sounds like Joey and Nani both are also.
Nice.
They look eager. Joey's a chirping. Or Daka, excuse me. Daka's a chirping.
Say that again.
How are you?
I'm well. It's been interesting because I've been like hitting wrong buttons and been saved technologically today. But I've done it multiple times. It's fascinating.
I've been making messes all day, spilling things.
Yeah, I keep hitting, like right now, as I was talking to you, I was just saying, welcome everyone on Facebook. And said, if you want to end this video now, and I went, no, I don't want to end this video. But I apparently had hit the end video button. Hi, Jackie. Oh, technology.
So maybe that's an indication of just how much is going to happen tonight.
And how much what?
How much is going to happen tonight.
Yeah, I have no idea. It's been a fascinating time, as we all know.
Oh, yeah.
Even when I say the date, it's kind of like, what? I feel like
I know.
Somehow has blipped, and I'm like floating in this timeless space, but having to check my calendar every single day.
Yes, I can identify with that. And that somehow we're in what is called almost the middle of June.
I know. What's up with that?
Not a clue. Time just slips by.
It has. So,
to grab onto anything to try to get done.
Yeah, you know, I'm not doing that so much these days. I'm feeling really good. I'm okay with this floating through time space. And I really like to kind of pass that dynamic on to everyone else.
That'd be great to be able to float without concern about what's not getting done in calendar time.
Exactly. You know what? Because calendar time is kind of, it is melting. It's a bit like I see like Salvador Dali's clock just kind of melting.
Oh, I like it.
And so I really do feel like just time as we have related to it and seen it and been with it is totally dissolving. And yet we still work with these silly calendars. Hi, Lisa. I'm grateful to be together, too. It is strong energy today. So I'm bantering back and forth between Facebook and free conference call. So anybody here on Jackie, Lisa, anybody that I haven't seen yet, do you have any intentions? And while you're writing them, I think I'm going to read Susan's. Are you okay with that, Susan?
Oh, yes. I always love your way of phrasing it.
My synopsis. Well, I think I'm going to keep it simple tonight. I have an awareness of everything that you would like for yourself and for your physical body, and I'm actually going to ask that for yourself and the birds and Stan and your home and the land. I'm asking it for everybody. Physical issues come to light and become less of an issue. And I'm also feeling like that's somehow related to what I was saying about time a minute ago. So it's like when we can come to this timeless place, it doesn't mean that the aches and pains don't come, but they they don't, they may even linger, but they don't feel so oppressive or so debilitating. So, says, I've noticed the time theme too. So many people are confused about when things happened. Was it yesterday, last year, or 2 years ago? Hard to tell. And that is so true. And it's kind of funny. I was actually doing it with my friend today, and using working with timelines, which we all work with, timelines in these energy realms. But even that was like, timelines, what? So it was a challenge for me to actually even go there. So I don't know what that means yet, but I do feel like they're shifting, changing, transforming. We're all in that shifting, changing, transformative space. So think of it as kind of like, you know, the image I just gave you of the melting clock. I feel like our patterns are like that too. It's not just the time that's dissolving like that. I feel like our patterns that have been forming the structure of our bodies up till now are like that melting clock. And I think that with the dynamic of the evolution of the physical body to a light body, because that's how I see it, the physical body transforming to a light body, is I feel like that melting is kind of going on simultaneously. And so it's a bit disorienting. And the patterns are trying to cling on, hold on, and we're trying to diagnose them with what we know, which is almost insanely ludicrous because we know nothing. So it's really about breathing into that openness and that spaciousness within us, even as things are dissolving and transmuting and feeling like, whoa, out of sorts. So I just kind of went into this kind of jellyfish kind of dynamic. So I feel like that's a big part of the intention, to help people experience the ease, even in the midst of that. I see the Wicked Witch from, this is funny, the Wicked Witch I don't see as the bad guy because I like the version of Wicked better than the Wizard of Oz. But I see the Wicked Witch going, I'm melting. So it's like our patterns are like that. They're melting, and they're like, they're struggling with the melting. And if we would just breathe into them, I feel like the light would fill the gaps a lot more gracefully. And that's what I'm asking for everybody, that the light is allowed to come through our filters in such a way that we allow ourselves to be with not really understanding who we are anymore and being grateful for that rather than fearful. Because how I'm seeing it show up with a lot of people who are older, and not even a lot of people who are older, a lot of people are like, I feel like I'm like losing my mind and I can't remember things. And like Lisa said about the yesterday, last year, 2 years ago time, but it really is. Even in the midst of uncertainty and deconstruction, a new creation is being formed. And there are bits and pieces of us that have fragmented along the way that feel threatened by that. And so I want to help those bits and pieces of us that feel threatened just relax into the melting process, because in a sense they're not dying, they're actually transforming into more accurately the energy that they are. So with that, I'm just going to talk about the last bit you said, Susan, okay?
Okay.
And include everything for you and Nani and Daka and Stan and your house and the move and your physical ailments. And that's what I'm talking about in terms of the transmutation and allowing that new cellular creation to come through in a way where we're not trying to make it what it was. We're open to the possibility, the surprise, the blessing, and the gift that it can be. which I feel like is like an optimization. It's almost like we are being optimized on multiple levels, but we are fighting it because it feels like we like the old programs better. Or maybe we don't like the old programs better, but we know them better, we think. So, what you asked, Susan, that your this is what touched me too. Your heart is most desiring in any work that can be done and offered to Earth and all life forms, I'm going to say of Earth rather than on Earth, of Earth, to offer healing everything around coming from higher realms into 3D. In other words, healing the trauma, the belief systems, the programming, the channel blockages, any perceptual block or disconnects across space-time and offer energy of expansion for those channels, re-energizing our original knowing and being and awareness of the connection to God, our source. And I'm okay saying the word God. I'm sorry if anybody here is not okay with hearing it. I've come to peace with that. I know that God has a lot of connotations, just like the word love. There's so many definitions that we use out there and label. But for me, love, light, God, source are all one, and we are that. And for me, love and God, neither of those terms or energies exclude anything. They are inclusive. They are not exclusive. In other words, you don't get to go to the VIP lounge and have an exclusive ticket to the show. You are the show. And it's really about bringing that awareness and that authority, that self-authority into harmony so that we can all tap into that presence of just being moment to moment to moment. Being now, being now, being now. And every extended now, 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 now. So it's really aligning with that now, that presence, that ease. As Lisa said, even in the midst of uncertainty, deconstruction, and allowing the new creation. And being joyful about it. Maybe not even joyful, but curious. At least being curious. I do believe that's what the Bible talks about when it says, be like little children. It means be in this state of wonderment where you see something, like the first time you saw a butterfly, there's probably this sense of what I feel when I think of the first time I saw a butterfly is this, what was that? And how can I go with it? So it's this state of curiosity and wonderment and awe of the world around you. And even more importantly, the world within you, rather than fearing the world within us. In other words, our bodies, our biology, coming to this place of acceptance and appreciation for our bodies, even as they are, with the aches and pains that come along and the whatever the diagnosis are being thrown at us, but really just being with them as they are and allowing them to transform and unfold, a bit like the lotus flower unfolding. And so I'm going to add Lisa's intention now. She says, be, connect, surrender, love, enjoy, create, share, grow, forgive, let go, accept. Welcome the new world. Welcome the new with curiosity and gratitude. She basically just summarized what I just went through. That's pretty beautiful. So I'm just going to let that sink in and tap in. And when I say sink in, see this spelling two ways, S-I-N-K and S-Y-N-C-H. Apparently, I had an alarm for this call, and I kept putting it on snooze. Okay, so no more snoozing, no more alarms. However, my alarm is Wahe Guru, which I love, because that basically just means, the inner guru, the inner light has awakened. And that's what I'm here to actually activate today, the inner light within each of us, within every cell of our body, and with even at the molecular atomic, at the atom level. And that came up for me today, and what came up was that whole biblical story about Adam and Eve. I really feel like when we're talking about the atom, that is somehow intertwined with atom, meaning atom. So it's the atomic level, that molecular level, that light energy level. That is the likeness of God, which is you and me and everything else. Again, all inclusive. So, I see, well, as I say I'm seeing, I'm closing my eyes, and I'm feeling like a, not a wobble, but sort of a shifting back and forth. And I think this has to do with the timeline and the future and the past. So it's like disentangling from that. It's not like leaving the timeline, because that's not what you want. We want to do, but what we want to do is live as if we're on the timeline, knowing we're not. Knowing that this is like the blink of an eye. Our life is like the blink of an eye, and yet it goes on for eternity. And when I say it goes on for eternity, I heard somebody say, oh, no. And I'm not talking about all the maladies and all of the discomforts and all of the stories we make up about what happened to us and what's happening right now. I mean the vibrancy, the vitality, the life, and whatever it is we choose. And it's a continual process of choosing. Like, our thoughts. You know, thoughts are like, they're like clouds. They come through our consciousness. And unfortunately, they come through our consciousness and we grab hold of them, thinking we thought them. When really, they come through our consciousness and you get to choose which ones you want to play with. I love how Facebook puts you on a Facebook Live and throws new tip here in the middle of your actual session. So that's kind of funny. So, distraction. There it is, distraction. So the clouds and the thoughts are just like this new tip message, like these pop-ups that happen all the time on the screens of our mind, and on the screens that our minds are actually interacting with supposedly out there. And it's really about how present, how many times can we come back to that place of presence and still be able to interact with all these pop-ups. And then choose which ones we're not going to interact with. Oh, nice. So, I also feel right now like an unraveling in the neck. It looks like a vine. It feels like a vine wrapped around the neck. And it's almost like, it still feels like a vine, but the image came to mind of the puppeteer, and I can direct your focus here, or I can direct your focus here. So it's like this image of this control force out there, which we succumb to and turn over our authority to, turn over our power to, instead of saying, hello, darling. Was that Nani or Daka?
That was Nani.
I thought so. Daka's got a much more subtle, hello, Nani.
Yes, so, yes, she's much more subtle.
What was that?
Yes, Nani is not subtle. Dhaka is.
Dhaka is subtle. So it feels like that. It's like this dynamic of, what are we choosing? Moment to moment to moment. And I've actually been encouraging people breath to breath to breath. Because the breath is so essential. And you've heard me say this before, that when we hold our breath, we are withholding our life source. Not our life force, our life source. Our source is there to empower us, to enliven us, to animate us, to actually play in this realm. And yet, we often label it as something else. Or we allow something else to overtake that, our breath, to overtake our breath. So, what I'm doing right now is just kind of clearing the screen of my mind to open up a more direct connection with all of us. Beautiful. That allows space. That allows space. Breath and space. And allows us to fill the space with breath. And it's a bit like as I would do that, I'm seeing like a kind of a flowing, fluid, almost pumping action of cleanse, fill, cleanse, fill, cleanse, fill. In other words, lymphatic drainage, energetic drainage of waste, what is not truly yours, mine, ours. And breathing in more of that life force, life source, life source. We're going to go to the cellular molecular level right now. We're going to work with the photons. One of the things I was reminded of, I've been talking about for a long time, is that I feel like our bodies are being transmuting into something new. And what that means, I do not know, except for I do feel it is as part of our evolution, tapping into more of a lighter, higher vibrational consciousness that allows a more direct communication between each other as one, and between the land around us as one. And so we're working with the photon. And I was reminded, I don't know if any of you have ever read the book Starseed Transmission or their series, but I read it a long time ago. And I just read another book in the series recently. And when I read it, I was like, oh, my God, I've been thinking that all along and saying that all along. We have the capability, and it's even in science now, we have the capability of photosynthesis. And the story is, in terms of the biblical dynamic, is before the fall, which simply means before our level of consciousness degraded into the thought of we can decay. We were sourced through the sun, through the light of the sun, because we are that vibrational frequency, or that is the closest vibrational frequency to what we can imagine. And because I actually thought I've been having these thoughts of, you know, if I really am an extension of God, why did I create something where something had to die so that something else could live? I suddenly didn't like that thought. And that's when I discovered that theory of it wasn't always like that, and that's really what the fall meant. It's that lack of consciousness of you are sourced and everything you need is there, and so you can be that creative player without the suffering and the struggle and the sacrifice. The sacrifice. So this is where we go into the sacrificial lamb dynamic. It's like, what do you have to sacrifice to actually reach? even as I'm saying these words, they don't feel right, but this is what's showing up. What do you have to sacrifice to actually reach that higher state of consciousness? And really what I'm hearing is the only thing we need to sacrifice is our thought process that says we have to sacrifice something. Whether it's something within ourselves, something within our own life, or another person, or thing, or situation. It's really coming from that place of all is well, regardless of external signals and cues. And it doesn't mean you don't pay attention or interact with the signals and cues, but we do it from the inside out. And I'm doing this at the heart. So it's this mantra, inside out, bringing the love in so that it can radiate out. And it's like, be the change means be the light, be the lighthouse, be the tower, be that you wish to experience in your life. And that opens a lot of consciousness doors, including our own. So with that in mind, I'm now going into the prefrontal cortex, which is that evolutionary brain that's evolving over the cortices, over the frontal cortex. And it is more futuristic, more relating, it's more associated with the heart and how everything relates. And so now, I'm going to link that then to the hypothalamus. I don't know why this hand position, but the hypothalamus, linking the prefrontal cortex to the hypothalamus, and the hypothalamus is the moon, as we all know. It's also our subconscious thinking, and today is a solar eclipse. So Norman and I were having this major discussion about, we were trying to remember the logistics of all that. And really what came to light was solar eclipses like that. The shadow is being cast, which is the subconscious, which is the moon. So it's bringing all of those shadow elements to light, bringing it to our awareness, to our consciousness. Doesn't always look pretty, but it's not meant to be harmful. It's meant to be helpful, as is everything that comes to us in our lives. And when we are able to shift our perspective and see where is the jewel, the pearl, the wisdom, the gift, the blessing, the message, and all of that, then we start receiving more gifts and blessings and messages rather than hardships and struggles and pain. That is then taking me to the pelvis. Which is our gut brain, but it's also our feminine, the bowl. It's like the feminine vessel. It's like shaped like the bowl. And it has been suffering. And to be honest, mine's been giving me a little bit of grief. And it's interesting, I said it's giving me a little bit of grief now because it's becoming clear that there is a sadness and a grieving going on in terms of the feminine. And so I want to offer that up to our source and say, can we dissipate that, please? Can we mend that? Can we offer that up so that we quit carrying that pain and that historical grief? I know many of you have heard me say that I am here, we're all here to end history as we know it. And that is true as far as I'm concerned. Because history as we know it is that old storyline, and it's been going on for a long, long, long time according to timeline. Hence the melting clock. So, bringing that awareness to the pelvis, to the pelvic girdle, and not just to the feminine reproductive system, but also to the male reproductive system, because it's all been playing out in terms of that masculine-feminine dynamic, not man-woman, even though it's played out as man-woman, that masculine-feminine dynamic where the masculine seems to be dominating the feminine. And I say seems to be because the feminine has been participating in that, and this is what it looks like, which a bit looks like these eclipses. So it's really how can we bring that clarity and that union, that divine merge of the feminine and masculine. Because up until now, the divine masculine or feminine, neither one has been present on the earth. It has been a distorted, perverted, confused, misunderstood feminine and masculine that had been battling one another since the beginning of time, at least in this timeline. So, working with that feminine and masculine and bringing, can't exactly bring them together yet. It's like bringing them together. So, and I say we can't bring them together yet because there still is this energy between them. And that actually needs to be there right now. But as we bring them closer, there is more of an inner dialogue going on between the feminine and the masculine, where there is a more clear communication and an unraveling, actually, as the melting is going on, the unraveling of the illusion of that war, that fight, that struggle for dominance, to bring that harmony and love and light in the space between the feminine and the masculine. Harmony and light. If anybody else is making any comments, I can't see them. So if somebody else, Lisa, would you make a comment there so I can see if I can see it, if I'm just missing everybody. Anyway, so it's bringing that harmony between the masculine and the feminine. That love, that light, that conscious awareness of, oh, I am you. And you are me. And yet, we appear to be different. I do see you. That was the perfect thing to say, by the way, especially where I am right now. So I do see you. Thank you. So it's working with that feminine masculine dynamic to bring that love and that light into the space between the two qualities of being in humanity. Hi, Marla. Yay. Thank you. By the way, that energy, what I was talking about for the physical, was very much applicable to you and Michael as well. So bringing that harmony and that love and that light to the interaction between the qualities of feminine and masculine. And clearing the space in the mind. It's almost like I see, like, opening the mind. Again, I guess I'm seeing, like, Salvador Dali again, like, opening the mind to allow some spaciousness, to let all the goblins and gremlins. Oh, yeah, Nani, letting the goblins and gremlins out. He liked that. So letting out the goblins and gremlins so that we can actually be more clearly present to true, clear thinking, divine presence, rather than all the stuff back there that just has been cluttering our minds and our lives up till now. So I'm going to say this because so many people come to me and say, I want to meet my life partner. I want to meet my partner, my love. And first and foremost, you must meet that partner within. If you don't take that step in that union and that merging within, then you run a jeopardy of repeating past situations and scenarios. And so we're actually, as I'm saying that, I'm like pulling the sludge of that out of the consciousness of the psyche of everyone. Everyone here and everyone willing to have it pulled out of them. To, again, open up creative space to allow the self-love to come through. The irony is there's so much psychological stuff going around in the world right now, and everybody's labeling people like narcissists. Narcissists is a big label these days. And I'm not saying that is not a pattern. What I am saying is I see all of these patterns as distorted versions of self-realization, the self trying to realize. And so it has been perverted and distorted and misunderstood and has shown up that way rather than that realizing we need to love ourselves truly. Knowing that love that we are giving ourselves is truly what we are. And that see me that you wrote, Lisa, is so beautiful because it is like that. It's like I see you means I see you. Stories are all superimposed. Dramas and traumas are all superimposed. It doesn't mean that they don't need to be validated, but it does mean they are not who you are. They are simply there to inform you who you're not, so you remember who you are. We are really in that time of revealing, and how we allow it and what we allow to be revealed is up to us, each of us. And when we tap into that inner presence, it's okay to make a declaration of how you choose your life to be. And it's been my experience of when I make this declaration and I make it clearly without any kind of charge or make wrong of myself or anybody else, that's how it is. That's how it shows up, because I've showed up with that. Nice. So, I see like this whirlwind of light coming down through our field to kind of drag into the earth the waste that is no longer useful for any of us, that is actually fuel and food for the earth. It's not trash. It is food and fuel for the earth. And as that's occurring, this little moth is flying about. And as that's occurring, I see like this, and it's not like an explosion. It's almost like an energetic opening. It's more of this celebration. I see like this celebratory energy just kind of expanding, not like fireworks, more like a bubble is expanding, and actually this bubble is expanding open. So the bubble is being burst, but that's a good thing. The bubble is being burst because it's been that bubble of how we saw our lives up till now, and how we saw our world up till now. For those of us who play in this field, it's essential that we are conscious of where we direct our attention. And what I mean by that is thoughts come and go. And thoughts come, and sometimes they're not good thoughts. Like today, I was doing some meditation and some exercise, and some ugly thoughts came through. And that has to do with our emotions and trapped experiences that have rigidified in the body. And it literally does become a rigid obstruction, calcification in the tissue, in the fascia, in the bones, in the cells, even in the brain and the senses of the body. And so those patterns, those parts that are like stuck rigidly somewhere in our biology, whether it's our physical cells or our emotional energy body, which is our hormones, or neurology, or whether it's our thinking body, those patterns, they just need to be loved. They need to be seen, acknowledged, forgiven, and embraced, actually. They need to be embraced because they are wounded parts of ourselves, whether they are wounded parts of ourselves in this lifetime or in past lives. Which, by the way, past lives don't just mean past lives, which are dimensional lives. I've lived thousands of lifetimes in this life, and you have too. It's just often we repeat the same life. As one life comes to an end, another life is born. As one cell dies, another cell is born. And we are like cells of the earth. So it's essential that we actually, yes, hi Rhonda. It is essential that we actually love every part of ourselves. Even shame. It's hard to love shame, and shame is a big, shame and guilt, I feel like, are the biggest dynamics of emotions in the world that people reject. Makes sense, right? Because guilty gets you the guillotine in past life, or you get hanged, or whatever. You get hurt. And shame, basically you get ostracized in past lives, this life, whatever. So these emotions are basically, they're like pariahs. They're like often, and we all have our own pariah emotions. But shame and guilt, I feel, are really predominant in our world. And then things like anger and fear show up to kind of hide them. But if we can look at those parts that we feel ashamed of, we don't have to announce them to the world, but we want to look at them and love them, those situations or those moments that still are reactive in our bodies and in our psyches. And if we can just be with them, just like Rumi's guest house, if we can just invite them in, sit with them, feel them, embrace them and forgive them and love them and appreciate them, then they're no longer holding us hostage and we're no longer holding them hostage, because nothing holds us hostage without our permission. I shared with somebody today, a long time ago, a friend got a book called Psychic Defense. And there's a lot of people that, that talk about, you know, we need defenses. We really don't need defenses. We need defenses as long as we aren't taking care of our own needs and we're needy, then that's when defenses come up. But when we actually start paying attention to our own needs, that's actually the most generous thing you can do for your world. Take care of your own needs. Because if you don't take care of your own needs, nobody else knows how to be with you. And you're, everything you're giving is polluted, because you're giving, you're depleting yourself rather than being that stream of source light energy that is ever present, ever present. So if you can be with those parts of yourself, appreciate them, love them, and then just kind of let them go and take in the messages and the messengers and the information, life begins to flow more. And I guarantee you, we will see it flowing more out there. So what happens is, especially many of us who are in this consciousness field, the spiritual realm, we want to be, and we were taught to be good. We are taught to be kind. And really, that's our nature. I feel that's humanity's nature, it to be kind, to be good. And most people are essentially that. But sometimes we get hijacked, but we don't get hijacked without stopping the car to let them in. This friend gave me this book called Psychic Defense. A long time ago. She said, I don't know why I had this book, but I'm told to give it to you. So she gave it to me. I picked it up. I opened it to one page, and I read one line, put it down, never had to pick it up again, because that one line was what I needed from that book. And I want everybody to just kind of take this in and see how it fits with you, because the one line is, your aura is never pierced from the outside. What that means is we always open the door and let it in. Nobody's taken our energy unless we give it away. Maybe unconscious. But they can't take it unless we give it away. So that's where I feel like, too, part of this session is with the dynamic, especially of the world right now, it's really about claiming authority for yourself. Claiming authority for your own life, your own choices. Working literally with the governing vessel, the governing system of our body. And think of it in terms of our nervous system, our brains, our reptilian brain, really our military, our governments, our banking systems, everything we have set up has been reptilian brain, reptilian brain, reptilian brain, reptilian brain. Your aura is only pierced from the inside, exactly. In other words, it can only be done by you. So our outward systems, the systems that we set up historically, and it's not making it wrong, it's just how it evolved, is the reptilian brain. And we don't want our reptilian brain to run our shows anymore. We want to do that from our higher consciousness, which means our higher thinking brain, an integrated head, heart, gut, prefrontal cortex, evolutionary. And so that's really where we are. We're in this evolutionary phase right now where we are evolving into that, away from reptilian fight-flight defense mechanism to harmonizing systems within ourselves and allowing that creative flow, that rhythm, that artistry, that song, that dance, whatever is wanting to flow through you, to radiate out and essentially connect with that outside in the world. It's like one candle at a time being lit, and you are that candle. Except that candle never goes out. It's an eternal flame. It just appears to go out. So it's like lighting that eternal flame and lighting others as you go along. But first, self. The governing self. With a big S. Not mini me. Not the minions. The minions have been running things for too long, and there's the minions inside of us. It's time for the governing vessel, the authority, to take charge. Not by force, by source. Nice. Okay. Everybody just breathe and tap that in, please. Head, heart, navel. Okay. I also need to talk and stop and take a drink. My mind, let the governing vessel take charge, not by force, by source. Yes, thank you very much. Thank you, Lisa. Actually, I would add, let the higher governing vessel take charge, not by force, but by source. Because our operating system needs upgraded because it has been working from reptilian brain level. And Ganesha says, it's time for me to take a vacation. Which means, let me do my job and quit trying to get me to do everything else. So it's taking me back to the hypothalamus. Yes, thank you. And then I'm linking the hypothalamus to the thyroid. I feel like we're doing something that came up earlier today. Linking the hypothalamus to the thyroid. Then putting that together into a formula. I'm not going to use the words parcel and part packages. Together into a formula, linking that then to, I'm holding up here, but I'm hearing mitochondrial DNA. So, linking it to the mitochondrial DNA. Not sure why I'm holding up here yet. I will let you know in a minute. So it's working with the right and left hemispheres, that's why. So balancing that masculine-feminine dynamic, that intellectual, intuitive connection with that space and that clarity and clearing up the distortion between the left and right hemisphere, between the feminine and masculine. Linking that back to pineal pituitary. And then linking that to our fascia, And as I linking to the, I'm actually hearing notes. It's a bit like, you know, the strumming of the fascia as things are reorienting. So it feels a bit like a harp or a string instrument, notes coming through the fascia to rearrange the way we interact and communicate. Taking that down into the heart. And at the heart level, I'm here at the sternum, which is the heart center. At the heart level, it's like this circular energy. It's almost like this. It's still kind of musical. It's like still working with the fascia at the heart level, but there's a kind of a music. So it's almost like a crystal bowl here, which I have in the corner, but it's telling me just to do it here. So this is a sound. This is the sound. This is the sound of the heart. And it's linking back up to the throat to clear the pathways of communication and our voices. To open the, it's like, I feel like just stretching open the throat chakra and the mouth to let out that stuckness that there's like this, I don't know what it is exactly, but I'm just doing the sound. So it's kind of clearing the pathways between the heart and the head and the sound of vibrations and the connections between the heart and the head. The heart is specifically the prefrontal cortex. And there's a something occurring here with hi. Working with perception and range of motion and the senses. So clear senses to allow clearer perception. More authentic perception. And this, like I'm doing this now, I think this is for the birds. So flapping of the wings. You can't see this, Susan, but I'm like flapping my wings. But I think it really is, it's for the birds. That's kind of funny. There's an old saying, that's for the birds. That's supposed to mean ludicrous. But no, this is for the birds because this is for the freedom of flight. Freedom of flight. And this is for the birds, but also for part of the Starseed Transmission, the second book with Return of the Bird Tribes, which I really related to. So it's like, yeah. It's bringing that freedom through the senses and that clarity and that purity, not from the puritanical perspective, but from a clearer self-awareness and a clearer self-accountability, not from a punishing system sort of way, but from an empowered, a self-empowered presence human being or being. So everybody's gonna shake off what you don't need and just bring it down into the earth. Drop the heaviness. Drop the cloak of depression. Drop the belt that had been binding your fascia, the fascia of the universe, and just disentangling it, freeing it up, and the music is going to become clearer. And when I say the music is going to become clearer, the subtle sounds, the subtle clearing up. That feels really good. And perfect time, ironically, even though there is no time. That's how we end, my dears. So just be gentle with yourselves over the next few days and just let this process percolate, undulate. Let the deconstruction happen so the creative construction has a clean slate to build from. You're very welcome, Lisa. Clean slate. You're very welcome, Mimi. So everybody, another thing you might just keep in mind is for every breath you take, just think clean slate. Yeah. You're very welcome, Rhonda.
Hi, Debbie. This is Angela.
Hi.
And thank you. I was
You're
late.
Well.
if there is such a thing.
What was that? Thank you, what?
I said I was late, if there is such a thing.
There is no such thing. You were in divine time.
Oh,
I love it.
And yes, I see Nadi has profuse thanks, and Yadaka and I thank you also. Very grateful for you.
You're very welcome. I'm very grateful for all of you. All of you. All of you on Facebook, all of you on free conference call. Thank you for showing. We need people who show up. Just in general. Show up for our lives. You're welcome, Jackie. Marla. Okay, I'm going to get off here before Norman starts saying, you take too long to say goodbye.
I don't say anything. I'm just listening. But you should say you're listening to New Moon Session with Debbie Moran. It's, more information at newmoonsession.com. If you'd like to buy my book, just came out last month, be great if you buy that. So if you have to check it out, it's called True Love Kiss.
Oh, so nobody can hear that on Facebook, but Norman said, I'm not saying anything, but he's saying I should tell people to go to newmoonsession.com if you want to get the recordings. You can also listen to it on Facebook Live. And also, I wrote a book, and if you want to buy it, you can buy it on Amazon, or you can go to any of my websites and Body Talk and Beyond, and you can order it there. So. I'm just grateful you showed up. Thank you.
All right.
Okay.
I want to say thank you. Talk to you guys later. Bye.
Bye, everybody. Oh, everybody hung up.